Can open your Bibles to John 14. I know we all been guilty of not being grateful at times, and sometimes been guilty of complaining about things, and appreciated those devotional thoughts. And sometimes we have this idea that we deserve a healing, and we deserve this healing of leprosy, and we forget to be grateful. And we want to be a grateful people. Well, John 14 is... I want to break in at verse 15. I think I'm just going to take the time to read verses 15 through 31. We welcome you to follow after. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He the commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. However, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise and let us go hence. There's a lot of content in this scripture, a lot of things that we could preach on. But what I want to focus on that God spoke to my heart is another comforter that Jesus is talking about. And we know the comforter as the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And I feel like sometimes where I've been weak in emphasizing the work of the Holy Spirit, I think maybe we as a people maybe have been weak in that aspect. And I just want to emphasize this morning the importance of the Holy Spirit in our walk of life. My message title is Spiritual-Minded Living. And what made me think of this is how at times in life we may face questions, and we seek direction, we seek wisdom from God. And sometimes we have this idea, if Jesus were here, we would have the answers. We would know what we're supposed to do, we would know what's right, and we would know what's wrong, and we would know how to spend our money, and what things we shouldn't buy, and what is all right to buy, and what we can do, and the list could go on and on. If somehow, if Jesus could sit in my living room and sit on my couch, and I could say, Jesus, can I do this? Somehow I would know the answer because Jesus is there. And as I got to thinking about that, I thought, you know, how do we know God's will for our lives? How do we know what's right and wrong? And we look into God's word, but Jesus made some statements here. He says, I will send another comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we separate the Holy Spirit away from Christ. And we cannot do that. We're talking about the Trinity. God, the Father, and Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're one. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to leave you. The disciples enjoyed having Jesus with them, and they would sit down and sit together, and they would talk and share, and they'd have questions, and Jesus would answer their questions. And Jesus said, I'm going to leave you. I'm no longer going to sit in your living room. I don't know if they had living rooms, but they're no longer going to sit in there on the bank or along the river. But I'm going to send a comforter, a Holy Spirit. And he's the same kind as I am, the Holy Spirit. It's not an outward force that we can expect. It's an inward force. You see, the outward force that we face in this world is the spirit of this world. And the spirit of this world presses upon us, and it uses our eyesight, our hearing, our taste, and even smell and touch. Our five senses. The spirit of this world wants to press upon us. And it kind of applies with the message that we heard last Sunday on music. You know, what we hear. And we say, well, I like it. Does that mean it's in accordance with the work of the Holy Spirit? The inner force? The inner being that God, Jesus said, he says, I will give it to you. He said, verse 16, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. And he forever. The Holy Spirit inspires the inner man. You know, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we have a testimony this morning of a young lady that has done that. There's a spirit. And there's the Holy Spirit comes in, and as I listened to many testimonies through the years. And people, you ask them, why did you knock on your parents' bedroom door? Or what brought you to this point that you made this decision? And they'll say, well, my life was a wreck. My life was in disaster. I was guilty. I was restless. And then I say, what happened after you prayed? God put it back together. That's a miracle. And God wants to do that in our journey of life. All through life, God wants to put life together for us through the work of the Holy Spirit. Just as if Jesus were walking beside me and I could ask him these questions, I can go to God's Word and I can let God's Word speak to me, and the Holy Spirit can move in my heart and I can know the answers of life. That's what Jesus is speaking about. I like verse 23. It says, and Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That means the Trinity does what? Lives with us, gives us direction. In life, that's what I get from this scripture. It says, we will come and make our abode and we will abide with you. The message title, Spiritual Minded Living. What does that mean? A huge difference between a spiritual-minded person and a carnal-minded person. Actually, the scripture says a carnal-minded person isn't accepted by God. And that would be nice this morning if I could preach this morning that after you become a Christian, that the carnal mind would be eradicated. We wouldn't struggle with it anymore. That's not true. We know that. But I'm so blessed this morning that Jesus taught us that he said, I will give you a comforter. I will give you a guide. I will teach you all things. I will bring to remembrance. How many times have you faced temptations in life and the flesh and the things you saw and the things you heard and you were drawn to those things and God's Spirit spoke to you and you moved away from those things? Bringing that to remembrance, his word, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to give us direction in life. He wants to give us direction to the things that we say no to, the things we say yes to. Actually, he wants to give us direction to the tithing, how we give the money that God gives us, our resources. God, he wants to give us direction in so many different ways. I believe this is for today. Jesus was talking about the church age here. He was talking about after he leaves. And we have the book of Acts, and you have the birth of the church, and you have the pouring of the Holy Spirit, and so on. So what is spiritual-minded living? There's a big difference between spiritual-minded living and carnal-minded living. Actually, Ephesians brings a little bit of a word picture out. In verse 5, verse 18, it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's he has that verse tucked in there in Ephesians. And as if you think of a person that's drunk with wine, they walk differently, they talk differently, they act differently, they think differently, they even feel differently. And I've seen some of those people, and you're, it's obvious that they're intoxicated. The alcohol controls their judgments. They have impaired judgment. But he says, be filled with the Spirit. So he brings this word picture. He says, you know, there's a way of living over here that causes people to walk and think and do like this. And then there's a word picture over here that are filled with the Spirit. And there's something changes over here. People that are spiritually minded walk differently. They talk differently. They act differently. They think differently. And they feel differently. And the Holy Spirit will control the results and improve their judgment. You know, there's people in life that as you observe their life and you think, making poor judgments, making poor decisions, and you wish you could walk up to them and tell them, and maybe you can, but unless the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart and they listen to that still small voice, sometimes they don't take heed to the things that we share with them. And so that's why the word teaches us that no man cometh to the Father except the Father draw him. The Holy Spirit is powerful today and wants to do a work in our life. Wants to draw us and move us and make us into his likeness. Now, I believe a person that is a spiritual-minded person will live in such a way that they'll display God's moral character. You see, if the Holy Spirit lives within us, then somehow that should be expressed in how we live, and people should, our moral character, our judgments, and our living standards should reflect God's standard. And God's moral standard, it should look similar, not? It should look the same. If the Holy Spirit dwells within us, it should make a difference. And so what is Spirit-filled living? What is being filled with the Holy Spirit? Many people have a misconcept of this, and I want to explain this a little bit. Many people will say it has to do with signs and wonders. Has to do with more revelations. And there's doctrine out there. There's teaching out there. You can find it on Google. You can find it on many preachers that will teach that being filled with the Holy Spirit is in signs and wonders or in more revelations. Is that what Jesus is talking about? Is that what he's teaching here? If you do a Bible study in Scripture, there's basically three occasions where God used signs and wonders, and revelations and giving direction to life. You have Exodus, you have the establishment of Israel, and you have God using Moses and Joshua, and you see signs and wonders, and you see what's happening there. And then you have the times of prophets and Elijah and Elisha, and you see signs and wonders and revelations and prophecies and so on. Then you come to the New Testament, Christ, and the establishment of the church through the apostles, and you have signs and wonders again, where God used signs and wonders to authenticate the message by those signs and wonders and those miracles. If you go to John chapter 20, he says what the reason for those signs and wonders were. He says, and many other signs attributed to Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through him. He says there's a lot of other signs, a lot of other miracles that Jesus did. But he says, I wrote these, I gave these to you so you can believe and know that Jesus is the Son of God. And you have these signs and wonders through Scripture at different times and different seasons as God revealed his truth and his will for mankind. The book of Acts was the beginning of the church age. And you have the apostles and a few that sat under their teaching, that you have signs and wonders, and you see that in the apostles. And you go to Acts. I'm gonna just look at this a little bit. Acts chapter 6. It says in verses 5 and 8. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and so on. And then verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And so you have a few of them. You have chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, that you could read another occasion where there were some signs and wonders. And then you go to Ephesians, and it says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says that and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We have the church built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. You have those signs and wonders and revelations that came through the Jesus Christ and the apostles. There's nowhere in Scripture that we find that believers in general were performing signs and wonders. After the book of Acts, after the beginning of church and after the apostles, we don't see those signs and wonders. And today we have a lot of emphasis of signs and wonders and healings that people claim to have the apostolic filling of the Holy Spirit. But we don't have that in Scripture. The apostles dying off, and you have the church going on. The apostles had a unique commission for the founding of the church. The signs of the Holy Spirit are found in just one verse. You don't need to turn here. But the work of the Holy Spirit that I'm talking about this morning is found in verse 8 or chapter 8 of Romans 13. And he says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do what? Signs and wonders? He says, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. He says, if you mortify the deeds of the body, it means to deaden, to reckon dead, to not follow after, to crucify and put to death the deeds of the body. And he says, you shall live. So, you have the work of the Holy Spirit today. Now, if you go to Hebrews 1, again, it brings out the fact of Hebrews 1. It says, God, who at sundry times or long ago times and divers men, many different ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of our majesty on high. Jesus came and manifested the will of the Father and spoke to us, and he's heir of all things. We're not looking for further revelation. We're not looking for another message from God. We're not looking for some prophet to rise up and give a new message. Jesus completed that message and that revelation. And the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation. He was, as far as we can tell, he was the last apostle to die. And he wrote the book of Revelations. And if you read in the last of Revelations, he says, if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, you know, you could maybe apply that only to Revelations. I like to apply it to the whole canon of Scripture. There's nobody that is authorized that will rise up in our generation or generations to come that can take something from the Word of God or even add to it. This is complete. And the Holy Spirit that speaks to us will guide us to His Word. I cannot stand up here this morning and say somehow I got an inspiration from the Holy Spirit and preach His inspiration and not have it line up with God's Word. It's false teaching. And Paul says there was many false preachers, false teachers. Peter talks about false teachers and so on. If you go to 2 Peter, he brings that out. He says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. I believe Peter's talking about false prophets that rose up in Israel. We have those stories of false prophets rising up in Israel, and we read about those false prophets and the end thereof. And he says there's going to be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So the reason I bring this out, talking about spiritual living, is our spiritual living needs to line up with God's word. It's not in signs and wonders or more revelations. And the apostles had a special work. And I want to take the time and look at some scriptures on that. And Acts, you go to Acts chapter 2. Just to drive this point home, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And there came, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You have again the apostles' teaching and the apostles' doctrine. And if you go to chapter 4, verse 33, is another scripture. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. It particularly says the apostle. Apostle needed to be an eyewitness of Jesus. They needed to see the works of Christ. That's what authorized their apostleship. 522, or 5, verse 12, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were signs and wonders wrought among the people, and there were all, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And so you have, again, you have the apostles' doctrine, and the apostles spoke with authority. They were eyewitnesses of Christ. And that's why we today believe that the teachings of Christ and the teachings of the apostles are equal. I cannot go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John and solely say that that's what I'm going to go by. I'm not going to go by the rest of the Bible, the New Testament, the Ephesians or the Corinthians or the Galatians, because I believe the apostles were authorized by Christ to expound on what he taught. And they were directed by the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, that's why we make Christian living practical. You know, we read 1 Corinthians and talks about the headship veiling. We make it practical. It's for us today. And many different things that we apply in Scripture, what the apostles wrote and taught. So what is spiritual-minded living? Go to Ephesians 4. I'm going to read verse 17 through 32. We could read this whole chapter. But this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, having give themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak ye for every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he might have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So if you back up to verse 17, this I say therefore and testify, that ye walk henceforth, or that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. And he said this spiritual minded living, well, there's a different walk. So what is the vanity of their mind? What does that mean? When you see people expressing and living their life and the vanity of their minds, the vanity of their goals or their desires, emptiness and folly and futile, it's amusement. It's a state of mind that people lower their standards. You know, when people get in that state of mind, it's amazing. They'll do things that they, after they're in a proper state of mind, they're embarrassed with the things that they engage themselves in. That's what he's talking about. It's the vanity of the mind. And he says the spiritual mind is different. There needs to be a different walk. The Holy Spirit guides us. So what is a spiritual mind? You know, humanly, sometimes we forget. We forget about God's presence. I mean, just think about it. As you move about in life, as you work and as you function, as you go shopping and whatever you do, just think about Christ being with you. In your presence. In my presence. Because that's actually what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is. The presence of the Trinity. So that surely should impact the decisions I make in life. It should impact the choices I make in my purchases. It should impact my thought patterns. It should impact my words I speak. Should it not? It should impact the attitudes of whether it's bitterness or anger and wrath or It certainly should impact what I speak and say about other people. Because Christ is beside me. Christ is within me. The Holy Spirit is within me. Are you getting the picture of what Jesus was trying to teach when he said, I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to walk with you, but I'm going to be in you. And I want to teach you and I want to guide you. I want to help you with your purchases. It actually will make a difference what kind of dress material you'll buy. Because when you're sitting there, or when you're looking and you're shopping and you see that dress material and it's so pleasing, it's so nice. But the Spirit says, that wouldn't be good for you. That's what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit wants to help us to avoid the foolish, folly, futile, careless living. Verse 24, he says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He says, I desire that you have this new man and that you grow in your Christian life and that you put this new man on. And it's created in righteousness and holiness. Holy living. New values, new goals. It will influence what I do with my devices. How I use them. How much I use them. Because the Holy Spirit is within me, guiding me and directing me. You know, we could maybe try and legislate all those things and we give some direction. But it still needs to come from within. Within the Holy Spirit working. In your life, in my life. He even talks about in verse 28, he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. The Holy Spirit wants to guide or purchases. There's all kinds of things, brothers and sisters, that we can buy that in themselves there's nothing wrong with. I brought a paper along that I received some time back from Christian Aid, and it spoke to my heart. It says, amazing opportunities in closed and restricted countries, a huge demand for Bible teaching literature. And they're asking, I forget how much, I think $1 million or something, they can use that kind of resources to send scripture and Bible teaching to people that are in closed countries that don't have the gospel, don't have the Bibles, and they can send things in, and they need money. Of course, it takes money to do that, and they're asking for money. And so I'm sitting there at my desk, I'm opening this up, and then I have a Cabela's thing beside it, and I'm looking, oh, they have Traeger grills on sale. And so I could buy a Traeger grill for $800 or whatever, or I could send $800 to this. You know what, brothers and sisters? The Holy Spirit really wants to weigh in on this. And I'm not saying Traeger grills are wrong, but this is what I'm talking about, being guided by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit desires to weigh in on our purchases. Because there's all kinds of things that we can buy. I'm just talking about the war that goes on in my soul and the Spirit that speaks to my heart. So you have the choice. You can give $1,000 to this organization to help the Bible get into people that will make a huge difference in their eternal reward, either in the fires of hell or in the glories of heaven. Or I can have a nice display out back with a Traeger grill and a nice patio where I can invite my friends over and eat all kinds of good food. Am I being too radical? The spiritual-minded person will not only go by the five senses, what looks good, what smells good, what tastes good, and so on. Does the Holy Spirit have anything to do when I walk into a taxidermist and he decides what I want to spend on an animal? And these flyers come to my mailbox. Does the Holy Spirit want to weigh in on this? Jesus said, I want to guide you. Does the Holy Spirit want to guide? He says, let him that stole no more. And I know we're not robbers. But you know what? We can steal from God's kingdom. Things that we should be giving to God. There's a scripture that talks about not we shouldn't rob God. He says, but rather let him labor, working with his hands so he can buy things for himself. No. He says that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, there's a lot of different things we could talk about. I have some things, pressures that we face in our culture. Whether it's even automotives, does the Holy Spirit want to weigh in for automotives we buy? I know that's difficult. I know there's all kinds of, and there's no, like I said, a lot of these things in themselves are not right or wrong. But yet, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to guide us in our purchases and our automotives. He does. And what that does to us when we dive down the road with our automotive, God, the Holy Spirit wants to guide in our purchases. He wants to guide us in the type of pickups that we drive. You know, we have a lot of emphasis today, and we get them in our business places. It's amazing, you know, custom wheels and custom lights and LED light bars and lift kits and you could name it chip trucks, the diesels and the loud mufflers and all those things. Does the Holy Spirit want to weigh in on those things? He does. Because remember I said that Jesus said, I'm going to come and dwell with you. I'm leaving you. I'm not going to walk beside you. I can't take Jesus personally to the pickup lot and say, Jesus, how do you feel about this pickup? But I can, because the Holy Spirit is within me. He wants to guide us. And I'm preaching this not because I'm focusing on the young people. Fathers, we need to have convictions. We need to give direction. We need to be an example to our people. And then there's a verse here I'm going to finish up with. There's a lot more could be said. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, I asked myself the question, how do I grieve the Holy Spirit? And I just backed away from that and thought, well, how do I grieve relationships on earth life? How does a son or daughter grieve their parents? How could I grieve my wife? And there's certain things that I could do that would grieve those that love me the most. So making that applicable to the scriptures is grieve not the Holy Spirit. So when I go to God's word and I look at his standards and I look at the teachings of Christ and the teachings of the apostles and I have the Holy Spirit, and when I do not follow this book and I don't listen to that still small voice and I say, no, I want this. It smells good. It tastes good. It looks good. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm going to buy it. When I know that God's word would teach caution and against it. That's how we grieve the Holy Spirit. And I think of grieving the Holy Spirit, how serious that is, and how many times I've been guilty of that. To think of the word grief, it's extreme disappointment. So I think of Jesus walking beside me and I make a decision and he needs to move away. He needs to separate his walk away from me. And he's grieved and sad. And there's actually a time that Jesus wept. He looked over Jerusalem and he wept. And I think that's what he's talking about. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You know, it really is tied together with us grieving the Holy Spirit and not having victory in our Christian life. The decisions we make, the choices we make, the places we go. You know, I cannot go to the beach and then ask for the Holy Spirit to help me have victory over temptation, over sin. I already grieved the Holy Spirit, but going to the beach where there's, obviously, I shouldn't be there. Unless you have a private place to go. And so that's what we're talking about. We're saying grieving the Holy Spirit hinders us from having victory in our Christian life. Because the Holy Spirit wants to enable us to have victory over sin. Enable us to have victory over temptation. But when I'm grieving the Holy Spirit cannot help me have victory over temptation and over sin. So this all ties together in our Christian life and our Christian experience. And that we're sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, there's a lot of other things we could talk about. I focused on a few practical things. But you know, this whole thing of grieving the Holy Spirit applies to our relationships. How we relate to people, how we forgive people, and how we love people, and how we respond to our relationships. And that's what he's talking about, being ye kind one to another. I'm going to bring this to a close. May God bless you. And I just hope that this sermon can somehow connect you with the Spirit of God that dwells within you, and that you're sensitive to that Spirit, and that you want to follow God and want to be open. And there's times that we're going to have questions. There's times that you can read God's Word and you can pray and you're still not sure. Then go ask somebody else that you know that they have a spiritual mind. Don't ask a carnal person for wisdom and direction. Ask a spiritual person. A person that you know has the Spirit of God and is endeavoring to be spiritual. And you can tell by their walk of life. And you know that they have the best interest in you. You ask them for wisdom and direction. And God will help you. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.